Welcome to another episode of Erp Chirp, a podcast by Albertans, about Albertans, but for all Erpers. I'm Erica Ensign.
I'm Annette Weirstra.
And I'm Kirsten Gork.
And we just watched Wynonna Earp Season 3, Episode 8, Waiting Forever for You. Now, all the rest of the episodes in this season we had determined were country songs, or the titles of mostly country songs. I'm not familiar with Waiting Forever for You, but I'm going to guess that it is also.
And it sounds like a country song.
It does.
It has that piney country song title.
Sad.
Feel.
Yep. All right. Before we go any farther, I just wanted to, since I keep forgetting to mention this, to tell anybody who happens to be in Edmonton or in the Edmonton area, or who will be in Edmonton on September 23rd, Edmonton Expo, the fan and entertainment expo that happens here in Edmonton for geeks of all stripes every year. We're doing a panel. We're doing a live recording of Erp Chirp.
Yay!
Oh, you guys are so cute. Yep. It's called Made in Alberta, Erp Chirp, a live Wynonna Earp podcast. It's going to be in room 101 at 3:15 p.m., 3:15 to 4, on Sunday, September 23rd. So if you're in the neighborhood, do come on by. We're not going to be reviewing an episode because our episode review will already be out by then. So instead, we'll be talking about the show in general. We'll be talking about Alberta-specific stuff, you know, as
we
do. We
will have questions.
Yeah, audience questions, answers, etc.
Yeah, it's going to be exciting. It's my first expo and my first panel.
She's never been to any kind of con ever. So we're just like dragging her in.
They're just throwing me in the deep end.
Yeah, like you're coming and you're doing a live podcast. Welcome.
Yep. That's a good way to start. Yep. Annette and I will also be doing a Doctor Who panel with our Cracker Jack producer also on the Sunday. I think that was in
11?
Room 104. At 11 a.m.?
Yep. 11:30?
11:30. So, yeah. All right. I also saw our Cracker Jack producer turning his computer around towards Kirsten to show the song.
Yeah, the song.
Who's it by?
Willie Nelson. Okay. I knew I recognized that bescruffled face.
So, this was a really interesting episode. There were a lot of sort of matchups and team ups. It's like they like to take all of the characters and throw them out like dice and be like, okay, these two are going to be together this episode, and these two are going to be together. And this one got some that I was not expecting.
Yeah, and I have to say I liked it.
Really?
I thought, and also I feel like, we're 2/3 of the way through the season, mm-hmm. and you can feel all those things. We're like, what's going on, and they're starting to come together a little more, and mm-hmm. We don't know things yet, but I can mm-hmm. feel us heading into that direction. I feel a little less afraid than I did before.
Well, that's good. I felt like it felt like a long episode, but not in a bad way.
I agree.
I feel like we got a lot of information, mm-hmm. Some backstory, which is always enjoyable.
Mm-hmm. Possibly.
some one-sided backstory that may be true, mm-hmm. to be determined. And it was just like, I remember looking at the time at one point being like, wow, we're only halfway through. It just feels like there's so much interesting stuff going on. It was mm-hmm. really enjoyable.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I do have to say that since we not only got backstory told to us, but we saw like the flashbacks, I guess maybe we're supposed to think that this is what actually happened. I kind of don't like the fact that it looks like by the end of it that we're supposed to sort of be on Kate's side a little, and she murdered somebody in the middle of this episode, an innocent person.
Yep.
So I'm like, I really don't like that Wynonna is sort of kind of on side, and that Doc just left that guy there to die. So I'm still having really mixed feelings about this whole thing.
Yeah,
I'm
when
not
you
happy.
Pointed that out, I was like, you're right. He didn't untie him. He didn't tell him to get out. He was just like, eh. And he walked away and went to the forest and bit Robin instead.
I know. And I was going, if he does something to Robin, that is an unforgivable, and I'm not going to be happy about that. Do not touch mm-hmm. Robin.
And 5 seconds later, chomp.
Yeah, chomp. Yeah, he's chomp. Chewing on Robin.
And the only thing that saved him is that he tastes like moldy vegetables.
Otherwise, he would have eaten Robin.
Yep.
Well, he said he didn't even really know who he was. Not that... Mm. I mean,
who cares if he recognized him or not?
He should be eating people regardless.
Yeah, because he said something when he's drinking blood at the end of the episode that, this will prevent me from feeding on friends of friends. I was like, mm-hmm. so that's your line?
Yeah, right?
Friends of friends.
It's a very wobbly line because you already crossed it once.
Yep. Yeah.
Yeah. And I have to say, I did not even think about getting blood that had been donated, because we had talked about like going all Twilight and, you know, feasting on beasts and stuff like that. And I don't know why I didn't think going all True Blood and like just drinking.
It's been a while since I've watched True Blood. So.
Yeah. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
But at the same time, like that's still not the greatest solution, because as you might know, there's often blood shortages in Canada.
Right now
and
there
North
is
America.
One. How mm-hmm. dare you, Doc?
Yeah. So like that's, you know, they say every pint of blood that you give could save up to 3 lives. Doc just killed somebody else.
Yeah.
Yeah.
In, you know, with that tumbler of full of delicious looking red goodness. Ugh. I just drank a sort of Bloody Mary. So I guess I can't talk.
It's a Caesar. It's a Canadian thing.
That's true.
Mm-hmm. Something I did like about Kate is that she didn't let Winona blame her for Doc's decision. And I saw a lot of Twitter mm-hmm. talk about that this week, about how like we can't blame Winona and we can't blame Kate. Doc made a decision.
Oh,
he's
he
a grown ass man.
Yep.
He wanted his immortality back. He wanted to protect his family in the way that he thinks is right. He didn't force Kate, and Winona didn't force him.
No. So, although I do feel like Kate manipulated him.
Oh, she totally did.
Because we still don't know exactly what happened, if Bolshar actually did come and do something to her. And even if he did, what is Doc becoming a vampire? How is that actually going to be helpful in any way? I feel like she's been manipulating him kind of all along, and that's not cool. Winona is very flawed, but she has never tried to manipulate Doc.
That's true. And she definitely has her own agenda.
Yep. Mm-hmm. Which,
but I also feel
Charlie.
Like you, like she says, you can't force Doc to do anything he doesn't want to do.
That's true.
Yep.
Yeah, but she also do you think she meant, when she asked him and tried to turn him, did she think he would actually say yes?
I don't know.
Well, I think do you think like that's the thing. It was like, do you think she would always, you know, clearly she made the choice to follow him forever. Like, I mm-hmm. felt her story had a ring of truth, because Doc was a bit of a jackass, because uh-huh. he kind of is. And and that whole situation kind of leading up to the cards with Bolshar and Constant Cluey, like the thing, it mm-hmm. sort of makes sense to me that that's the story.
Yep.
And then she made the decision to become a vampire because of her history, which actually I buy that she mm-hmm. would do that and then come back and fail to find him. But I don't know. So it had a bit of the ring of truth to me. And it's just like, maybe you'd just be like, hey, I did all this for you. I'm going to keep asking and mm-hmm. maybe not expect. Because I think she knows he loves Winona.
Yep.
Yeah, she says at the end that she turned to a vampire for him, and he turned into a vampire for Winona.
That's true.
Yeah, and that was really faulty logic. But.
Oh, yeah. Doc. But that was what I wanted all along, was for Kate to have become a vampire in order to follow Doc, because that would be romantic.
True.
Which I liked the idea of when I knew less about Kate. Because now she's a vampire, and she's all in on being a vampire, and has been for hundreds of years.
And she was trying to get him mm-hmm. to feed and him to buy in. So it's like, but that's, again, is she a villain? Is she, like, she is a villain, but she's also, like, kind of a romantic figure at the same time.
She's an anti-hero at this
point. So, so it's like, it's like you just don't get characters that are hitting one note, which is always what makes the, the characters interesting, right? So, she's complicated.
Mm-hmm. I was also Team Spike for a long time in Buffy. So
Team Spike.
Me too.
So I guess I really should
talk about choices.
I should reevaluate, I guess, the way I'm feeling about Kate. I did like the fact that that she was like, you know, I was from Europe, and we were
Uncle Otto.
We were royalty, or we were nobles, or whatever. And when I was like, what? And she's like, you know who wrote the history books? People who like to erase people like me. And I was like, yeah, you go, girl. Because it's true.
It's so true.
Mm-hmm. So, yeah, I'm still not feeling warm fuzzies toward Kate, but I'm feeling less cold pricklies than I was.
I feel like I like her story, which doesn't mean that I necessarily like all her choices.
Yep.
Mm-hmm. I was okay to see her say she was going to catch a stagecoach.
Yep.
It's like, see ya. Mm-hmm. Don't let the snow hit you in the butt.
I believe your words were, bye, Felicia.
That is what I said. Yes.
Yeah. Yep. Mm.
I don't know. I'm like, we just finally got some interesting story about her. Uh-huh. And then I kind of found the team up of her and Winona really interesting and fun. And like, they had good chemistry, which was both like that tension and anger between them, but mm-hmm. also then working towards this common cause, and it was conflicted and it kind of would trend back and forth. I liked how that relationship played out, because it felt mm-hmm. complex and interesting, mm-hmm. and you didn't know which way it was going to go.
How often do you see two women who are heroines of their own story? Mm-hmm. Like, because yeah, Kate may not be the main character of this show, but she is clearly a kick-ass woman who is in charge of her own destiny. And when it's not that often that you get to see two women whose characters are so, like you said, fully fleshed out and with depth of character, interacting on their own terms with nobody else in sight. And yeah, there's definitely, you know, Doc is sort of at the heart of it, but he's not at the heart of all of it.
No. They were like, that's kind of how it starts, but then it becomes more well-rounded as you go along.
And you even get, you know, Constance Clutie coming into it. So your actual villain is another woman, even though she's pretty crispy.
So crispy.
But that was I kind of love that scene they, you know, they sort of see how she became, part of Bolshar's story, and how he used her as mm-hmm. well. And she's always better. Was a strong character as well with her own
help take him down.
Yeah, exactly.
And so for her to sort of see his betrayal in a lot of senses to her and mm-hmm. kind of make a turn. And then I think it was Kate that said, making your choice on how you end is also.
That's agency.
Yeah. No, so she chose to have Winona mm-hmm. end it for her.
Yep. Because otherwise she would have continued to be, as Winona said, a meat puppet for Bolshar, whom she didn't want to serve anymore.
Yeah.
No, there was almost like this anguish and, like, she couldn't talk,
yeah,
but mm-hmm. you could just feel that coming mm-hmm. from her crispy, crispy corpse.
Yeah, yeah. So I just thought that whole storyline was really great.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And Kate even gave Winona props at mm-hmm. one point before she read her card. Mm-hmm. She talked about how, you know, she's the most badass heir.
Uh-huh. And pretty.
And the fun gun knife play that they did where they're both holding guns. And then they put the guns down and they're holding drinks. And then, like, oh, that whole thing was funny and comical. And
yeah.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know. I just liked it.
Yep.
Yeah, it was nice.
I'm going to advocate for Kate.
They played off each other well. And I mean, honestly, it would be very cool if Kate were to stick around and actually be turned herself, but not turned like out of not being a vampire, but turned into a good guy.
An ally.
We might get our polyamory in the end after all.
Right? I mean, honestly, if we could have it all around, like,
I'm like, I could buy it.
I'm
now.
Kind of shipping Winona and Kate. Like, yeah. I feel like they had some chemistry there. And,
like, let's just forget about Doc and his stupid choices.
Right?
And just go for
he's
Kate
got
and...
Charlene or whatever his name is.
Yeah, exactly.
Yes. Yep. And then, yeah, that brings up the other team up that we had that I really didn't expect was Doc and Charlie, whom I really didn't trust Charlie at first, and I am on board with Charlie now.
I'm coming
he's growing on me.
I still like he's not, I don't find him quite as hunky as Winona clearly does, but I find him sort of disarmingly sort of charming. Like when he would say something and be like, that didn't come out great, did it? Like, just I like that sort of thing. He doesn't take himself that seriously. Yeah. He's okay calling himself Buttercup. Like, I appreciate that right? kind of thing in a guy.
Yeah, he doesn't do it for me like physically either, mm-hmm. but
he does for me, people. Mm-hmm. I'm gonna
he's
like,
a good,
I think he's cute.
He's a good looking
okay.
guy.
He's, a good
he's
looking
just
guy.
Not my I'm like mm-hmm. good looking guy.
I'm not gonna push him out of bed or out of my fire
for eating breadsticks.
Yeah,
for eating breadsticks.
But I agree with you, Erica. I think he had some great moments in this episode. He's very game to just kind of be a part of the team and to jump in and to do his part. And
he doesn't fully get it.
No, but he doesn't hold back. Like, you know, he was going toe to toe with Doc for the quips, and you know, then the Stone Witch shows up, and he's like, "Holy shit, what do I do?" Mm-hmm. And then he knows enough to let Doc out of his little holy.
Yeah, that was my
water
one,
chain to
one
help
problem
him out.
With the episode. So, okay, Doc walks
the
in.
The hand went over the rope and probably broke the circle.
Broke the plane of it, maybe?
Because it was really, it wasn't it wasn't tied mm-hmm. together. It was just a rope that he made into a circle. So once, I think.
Well, the circle was not the thing that was stopping Doc.
It's the holy water.
It was the holy water and the rope. Because Doc walks in and like, it's like he hit a wall because there's a straight piece of rope in front of him.
Yeah, but the hand went across.
And
so
he jumped over it. And I think it moved the rope far enough that when he landed, he wasn't
trapped
anymore.
Yeah, see, the thing is. Yeah, I will take the hand flying over the rope to break the plane of the holy water. I think that that would do it, because Doc jumping over the rope, obviously, like, that wouldn't have worked, or he'd been able to step over
it. I also didn't know that was a thing, like, soaked
that's
rope.
The whole thing is, when you're making like, up the show, you can make up all the lore you want. Like, yeah, for example, killing Kate doesn't free Doc.
Yeah, and Robin getting bit doesn't turn him.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Somehow Jeremy knew that.
Yeah, Jeremy, I was like, I don't understand why one bite turns him in one.
Well, maybe it has to be like in the jugular,
or like, or maybe it has to be willing, or yeah, there's got to, maybe there's a choice there. I don't know. There's so many different versions, right?
I think it's smart of them not to explain too much, because if they do, then they're trapped in those rules.
Yeah,
and maybe that, maybe they'll find a good reason to sort of circumvent, you know, and go in a different direction.
We still have like an angel out there somewhere, like that maybe can turn things around for us.
So Garden of Eden angels, things are coming together.
Not to mention the child of an angel now wearing a ring that has words
Garden
on
of Paradise.
It, and that she can't take off no matter how much butter you slather on her finger.
And she can like shoot people away from her with it.
When did
that
you
was
get a,
pretty awesome.
When did you get a finishing move? Which was so perfect from Jeremy, being the one who we know loves to play video games. And then I just, like, at that time, the music went all like Stranger Things. I think it was supposed to be like, sound a little bit like electronic video game-esque, because she had done the finishing move. But it really just made me think of
like,
Stranger Things. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Maybe that was intentional. I don't know.
Maybe.
It could have been. I don't know why they would want to remind us of Stranger Things. I'm thinking video games. I'm thinking that was supposed to be a nod to good old electronic video games, you know, with a finishing move, like punching. Or, and actually, it was really funny because we tend to watch this with the captions on, closed captioning on. And when Waverly punched out and the Stone Witch flies across the room, all of us at the same time yelled, "Whoa!" at the same time as the characters on the screen were. So it looked like for a second the TV was captioning us.
Yes.
Said, "Whoa!"
And like, everybody just said, "Whoa!"
Yep, it was perfect.
So funny.
Yeah, like that is the exact response they were going for, and we fit into it perfectly.
Nailed it.
Well, I have some hope for Robin. I'm like, maybe this whole he tastes like dirt and speaks with trees and
licks
seeds
potatoes.
And licks potatoes, which we finally saw. But I was like, maybe this is just something that's helping, because it's helping us advance the plot.
He's the key. Yeah.
And so he's becoming a critical part of this, because I'm just worried they're going to like break poor Jeremy's heart and do something to Robin. I'm like, don't touch Robin. I don't want him to be gone.
I feel like he's very hardy. He's been kidnapped. He's been dragged away by trees. He's been stuffed
but
full
so
of
maybe
goo.
It's opening
he's
him to
bitten.
Something without killing him.
I certainly hope so.
What did Waverly say? He has like a direct line to the bad guy.
Yeah exactly. And I was like, oh, I suddenly have some hope, and I really want to see more big gay dinners.
Yes.
Oh my gosh,
that was so
we didn't
great.
Even get to see one really.
No.
I want to see big gay dinner.
I want to see some prep.
Yep. Yeah. And I'm so happy that the like I was, as you might recall, I was concerned about the licking the potato scene when I saw that in the trailer. I was like, oh, I don't like the look of that at all. I am pleased that it was just a random kind of weird thing that fits in with what has been done to his character.
Yep.
And I also am very pleased that everybody else in the scene was as disturbed by it as I was.
Like, that is just some weird shit.
Yeah, yeah, they spent a good minute like freaking out about it. Like, he's not okay.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so that was like the, like as perfect as I could have hoped for in terms of why somebody would be licking a potato.
What is Erica's perfect licking potato scene?
That was it. You just saw it.
Check.
Well done, Emily.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, then they never even got to eat those potatoes, which is sad. They had some, there were some dinner rolls that were prepared, and that was about it.
Yeah.
One of them had
biscuits,
a ring in it.
Actually, were they not?
Were they biscuits?
They looked like biscuits. Mm-hmm.
She
like
said something
biscuits.
About the Stone Witch wrecking her biscuits.
Yeah, that was such a great line.
I think that was my favorite line of the whole thing.
And the ring showed up in Nicole's biscuit.
Yep. Yeah. That was funny when Waverly for a moment thought she was being
proposed to. Yeah. That was pretty adorable.
Because you know everyone is waiting for it.
And I wondered too, I was like, oh no, how is this going to go? How are they going to get out of it? I absolutely love that Nicole just goes, this is Bolshar's ring. Like, she just says the truth. It's just so great. Like, sometimes characters just need to tell each other the truth. And a lot of the times in this show, they do it. And it's amazing.
Well, and Waverly was like, oh, okay. And like, you know, she's like, yeah, you're right. That's not how it's going to happen anyways, right? Nope.
Mm-hmm. And it's not a princess cut.
It is not.
It is not.
No, it's better. I like big chunky, clunky jewelry like that. Like, I would happily wear Bolshar's ring if I were part angel.
Well, I don't think you have a choice.
Otherwise,
I just don't feel like I've had rings stuck on my fingers before and spent a lot of effort into getting them off. Like, if it's stuck on my finger, feeling. I hate it. It's like, cut it off.
You feel claustrophobic.
Like, yeah, I feel like crazy if I can't get a ring off.
Yeah.
That is true. That's not fun. But I feel like we could employ the butter and probably
that work. I don't have like rings stuck on my finger, so yep. I've never permanently been stuck. But
well, if you are, maybe it's because you're cursed
Or blessed.
Or blessed. That's true.
Like she's blessed. Wynonna's cursed.
Paradise. Yeah, the ring did say paradise.
Yeah, it did.
I'm gonna see the Garden of Eden.
So interesting.
Yeah,
and but what does
not
that actually
what expected?
Mean.
Yeah. And it's in Alberta.
Heyo, everybody come live in Alberta.
It or, is the Garden of Eden,
or
here.
Possibly right over the border in Montana. We don't actually know. Ghost River Triangle is large.
Yeah, it does creep into the US
creep a little bit.
Yep. Also, okay. So then we have the tarot cards, which they've got the order wrong on, because in the flashback we could clearly see that it was the Devil card first, then the Lover's card, and then we didn't get to see what the final card was that was turned over.
Yeah.
Or
I was going to say, or it's,
I was interpreting it as the tower was Bolshar's future, then is now the present.
But the way that they were explaining the lovers, it was that she said then the lovers would be in the future.
Yeah, but the lovers could be other lovers. It could have been because she said about her getting like it was the Cloutes at that point. But now who is the lovers now?
Maybe.
I was interpreting as, we are now looking at it, 130 years later. So you've got two of the same, like you've got the same cards, but the story has shifted.
I don't know.
I thought it as, even though Wynonna and Bolshar are linked, they're not the same person and there are different futures. And so maybe that is his potential future, but hers, depending on what happens, could be different.
Oh my God, you're a genius. I love this. No, because think about it. Wynonna's present ish and just like recent past has basically been the tower, which is the worst card in the deck, which is death and destruction and stuff, and Bolshar's, you know, past present at the time that his card was picked was of course him and Constance Cloutie, like they were lovers, whereas so the future for Wynonna could be Garden of Eden, whereas for Bolshar that would be the tower, because they're
or
linked,
is this his peak, right? Like his future was to cause this current situation that is happening to Wynonna. And so they're syncing up right then. But and like he is the devil in that the in the past, you know, he's, you know, so that's kind of how I saw it. It's like they're meshing. That tower is the same, but it's different perspectives.
Yeah, for sure.
Fascinating stuff. And then speaking of Bolshar, we get him at the end and we get Peacemaker glowing white. We actually went back, we made our Crackerjack producer rewind.
Which makes me want to go back and watch the episode where Dolls died. And because at the very end she points the gun at Bolshar and it does glow, and I can't remember what color it was.
Ooh,
then
you're right,
it was probably white. Probably I feel like they would have
they're
been
really
on
good
it.
About those details.
They really are.
But we didn't notice it at the time because we were like
crying.
Yeah.
Well, no, we
I
were
was.
In denial.
Yeah.
Was crying.
You were
some
crying.
Of us were like, I'm not listening.
Yep.
La, 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 la.
And actually, speaking of Peacemaker and glowing, when Nona shoots Constance Cloutie in the head,
glows.
She clicked it back and it's glowing yellow as normal. And as she's pulling the trigger, it changes to blue, which is the same color that was used for Willa and somebody else
when,
at some point.
I feel like when Waverly shot at Rosita.
Yes. Yep. That's right.
And clipped her or didn't work, whatever happened there, it was blue.
Yep. Yeah, so it seems like people who have some goodness or who have made some good choice at the end or the beginning, I don't know.
Interesting.
Yep.
Yeah.
Now we have to like go in. You know what? Probably some ERPers out there have spreadsheets on
probably.
Colors.
Let
they're
us
thorough.
Know, guys.
So yeah, if someone's got information and can tell us who got shot what time with what color gun.
Yep.
If you did your homework, we clearly didn't. Because
we're never going to do that.
Nope.
We're not those podcasters.
We are not.
No.
But yeah. And then Bolshar blew, what did you say it was, dandelion?
It looked like dandelion fluff to me.
Yeah, it kind of did.
Really dangerous,
which makes
terrible
sense.
Dandelion fluff.
He's all about the plants.
That's true. It's very seedy.
Yeah.
So yeah. It could have been. And then I was saying, like, all right, if any of his, if his walnuts are any indication, like, I feel like his dandelion seeds would probably be really terrifying and bears. Awful. Yeah. So who knows what's going to happen to Winona and Doc, who had an interesting conversation at the end there.
Yeah. They have this habit of, like, having these blow up fights, and then they find this common ground again the very next episode.
Yep.
Which is always interesting to me.
Yeah. She doesn't, obviously she's still not happy about it, but she seems to have sort of accepted his choice more than I might have thought.
Well, I think bigger fish to fry, right?
Like, yeah. Well, and he also explained.
Finally, he explained. Yeah.
Like, yeah. That, which makes, I'm still not convinced that it wasn't like a
spur of the moment
thing, and he's justifying it in hindsight.
Yeah, could be.
But he says, you know, if he then can be there to help Winona as long as she needs, and help Alice as long as she needs.
Yeah.
So it's like, that sounds
sounds pretty good.
That sounds good. I'm still not convinced that's just like, now you're justifying your rash decision, because it felt rash to me.
It did. Yeah. So. I loved Jeremy in this episode.
Oh, I always loved Jeremy.
That opening
though.
Scene with him and Winona was delightful.
It was great.
The way I just love him.
And the way he just ratted her out to Charlie. How many times did he use the word hose?
About a scamp.
Seven, right? I think. Yeah,
oh, that was so great.
And I didn't expect it. Like that I think more than anything else that we have seen, for me, cements just how much he really is a part of this family now.
Right? He's like razzing her.
He can pick on her like a little brother.
Right.
And he feels comfortable in doing that. And she obviously, you know, she doesn't like it, but she's fine with him doing it because he's...
Yeah. And she's giving him like romance advice, which I don't know that Winona is qualified to do.
But it was nice. Still good stuff.
It was nice that she was like trying to help him out.
It was, it was also interesting. Lemons. It's that, like, he's so team Doc though, and that he just sort of, she's like, that's not, and that was before he even knew that Doc had gone vampire. He was just a vandal at that point.
A vandal of her heart. And but, all of ours.
Yeah. And he's just like, he just accepts. Yeah. Mm-hmm. You've made a decision at this moment. You seem to be having a good time with this Charlie guy. Why aren't you? What was the word about lemons?
Squeeze your lemon. Squeeze that lemon for all it's worth.
Yeah. And with promoting it. It's just, that's so pro Winona, and just accepting of her choices in the moment. And it's like, yeah, well.
Yep.
You be you.
And then as Kate said at the end, there's something to a guy who actually expresses emotions and sentiment.
Yes.
Very true.
Makes Winona terribly uncomfortable, but we all know why.
Yeah.
She's not good at that.
And Jeremy also called a squirrel a tree rodent, which made me think of my father because he calls them tree rats. I feel like it's a very Albertan thing. Squirrels are tree rats.
We don't have rats here.
No, that's why we have tree rats. Squirrels.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
My father will shoot them if you ask him to, even if you don't.
I've heard pigeons referred to as sky rats. So.
Oh, see, there you go. Yep.
Must be. We just substitute.
We don't have rat rats, so we have sky rats and tree rats.
Mm-hmm. That's a good way to do it. Yep. I did awkwardly enjoy the dinner scene at the fanciest restaurant in Purgatory. And it made me want breadsticks.
Oh my
gosh.
Also,
next road trip, we are finding where that restaurant is.
Yeah,
we are going to it.
And we're
going to
bring our own breadsticks if they don't serve them.
Yeah.
I think it said breakfast all day in the back. So I'm getting breakfast. You guys can get your breadsticks. And like, that was the kind of thing where I feel like that had to have been a sign that was there at whatever diner they filmed it at. That's not the kind of sign that you put together and like just for one scene. So I'm really excited to go get breakfast all day.
Well, and it looks like the sort of thing where it has like 8 million things on the menu.
Yep.
Yeah. Like you could probably get like Kung Pao chicken or
Donair.
Pancakes.
Pierogies.
Yep. Yeah.
Put a hair.
Yeah, all the
she
hits.
Just winked at me, correcting my Ukrainian over there.
Yeah, that's another Alberta thing, being able to actually say Ukrainian words correctly, which I cannot.
I know all the foods and all the swears. It's the most important things, and how to ask for a beer.
Oh, give us that.
I may pronounce it wrong, but I'll try. I was taught by my Ukrainian dancing friends, who were a bad influence, that it's Yehocho Pevo.
Yehocho Pevo. All right.
We'll try it out and see what happens.
Yeah, we'll see if someone who actually speaks Ukrainian wants to correct me.
I just know baba. That's the only one I know.
I thought I knew pierogi and cabbage rolls, but apparently those aren't right.
That's putahe and holubtsi.
Oh, wow. See,
or holubtsi if you're like super Ukrainian.
Wow. We are.
I don't know how to say it correctly, but we do eat lots of Ukrainian food around here. Mm-hmm. It's almost local.
Yeah, pretty much.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
All right. Well, we have devolved into Ukrainian food. Yes. Is there anything else about the episode that we need to talk about before we mosey?
I feel like I've gotten everything I need to off my chest.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Bobo Watch 2018 continues. Yes.
Yep. We've had no Michelle.
No Michelle, no Bobo.
No. I feel like she's got to be gone for a couple
of
episodes.
Yeah, she just left. For sure. So, I feel like she's Bobo
gonna,
back.
She's going to, they're both going to come in for the end, is what I feel. And I really want to see those two together again, Bobo and Mama together
yes,
again.
That is going to be a reunion that I'm excited for.
Bobo at least got mentioned.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, yeah.
Because they went to the well.
Mm-hmm. That's true. What did he call him?
Oh, Bobo del shit. Shit.
And why notice lasagna del
oh
Bobo
my gosh,
shirt?
So
like,
great.
Where are we getting those what shirts?
So lasagna del Rey, is that a thing?
No.
Or is it just funny?
I don't think so. I think it's okay. Just supposed to be funny. I've never heard of it. So.
All right.
Someone probably made that shirt and they thought it was funny and worked it in.
Mm. Yeah.
Maybe. I don't know. Our CJP over there
is Googling.
He's typing. He's typing. Oh, I think he knew something because he had a look on his face. But I did enjoy the shirt, so I'm excited. Oh, Lana Del Rey, I get it.
I don't.
Gotcha.
Oh, see, like I
recognize
I just
that name, but
call it
Lasagna
Bobo
Del Rey.
All mm-hmm. Bobo to me.
Yeah, it was all Bobo. All roads lead to Bobo.
Yeah.
Oh, I suppose that's a Bobo. See, it didn't even occur to me that was.
Oh, that's what I thought immediately.
You guys are so Team Bobo. I am so not.
That's the shirt we really need.
Team Bobo.
Mm-hmm.
I'll wear it under my fur coat. Maybe, I don't know, maybe I'll bring my fur coat to the podcast.
Ooh,
who knows?
Oh, yes. At the expo.
Everybody come to Edmonton Expo on the Sunday to see whether or not Annette is wearing a fur coat.
It probably depends. It'll probably be cold. Maybe.
Probably.
It might be. Yeah. I mean, it is early September, so, you know, the street is already full of yellow leaves on the ground.
It could go either. You could be 20 degrees or you could be -3. We don't know.
Mm-hmm. Yep. That's like 70-ish and just under freezing for our
Thank you, translator.
Oh, yes. Thank you for that.
You're welcome. All right. Well, there's a lot to... that's going to fall out from this episode. I'm looking forward to next week a lot more than I was looking forward to this week, because mm-hmm. after the last episode, at last couple of episodes, I wasn't really feeling it. I was just like, oh, you know, in the narrative structure of a good story, you have to sort of have the ups and the downs so that the ups feel good.
Yeah.
And I feel like we were kind of doing a lot of downs that were in, and the little up bits in those episodes were not things that were sort of attuned to what I get excited about. So I was really kind of feeling a little melancholy about the whole thing. And now I feel like this episode has, like, I'm still not super stoked, but it's really lifted me back up in terms of the shape of the plot of this season. I feel like has taken on some structure mm-hmm. that I am enjoying.
Mm-hmm. Oh, good.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Well, 'cause to me, the whole Doc choosing to be a vampire just felt horrible to me. And it's like, usually I'm on the road for the ups and the downs, mm-hmm. but
yeah, that
I was
one was
really, really struggling with that. And now I'm like, okay, I can see how this is fitting into mm-hmm. a structure. I can see how maybe I'll be okay. And maybe we have an angel who will take care of things in the end. I don't
know. It's a process.
Sometimes it's hard. But, yeah. When you can't see any way forward to get excited about what's going to come next. Mm-hmm. And I mean, we should have had faith. We should have known. But
know.
Yeah, now we can sort of see some possibilities. And honestly, the thing that gets me the most is the idea that this blood that Doc was drinking at the end came from Winona's new boyfriend. And just everybody, that's the thing I love about this show so much from the beginning, is that, yeah, you have this team of ragtag misfits who don't all fit together in like a super family style way, except that they do. It's just I'm enjoying watching different people come together from different angles. And I guess, you know, at the end of it, I'm still Team Polyamory. I want like all of them, all four of them,
just to do whatever the heck they want.
Exactly. Just, you know,
just take us along for a really sexy ride.
Mm-hmm. Yes. Yes, please. I'm sure that fanfic is out there already. How many minutes has it been since the episode dropped? The fanfic
That's
is probably
time.
Yeah,
just, probably out
you
there.
Know, directed our way. There's a whole mm-hmm. podcast about
yes, there is
fanfic. So mm-hmm. you know, we can
mm-hmm.
check that out.
Yeah.
Yes, indeed. All right. Well, I'm excited to watch more next week. I mm-hmm. hope you guys are too.
Yes.
Oh, yeah.
So until next time,
lights out, bitch.